I do love being here. I enjoyed the time we had last night at dinner. Woke up this morning, my wife goes, man, my tailbone hurts. She goes, I don't know why. I said, that's because we sat there for over about 2.5 hours, you know, fellowshipping and such. And we don't get that a lot, being out on the road, you know, always being busy and such. And so it's a blessing when a pastor and his wife takes you out. Man, you can sit there and just hit it off. I mean, I think we hit it off wonderful the first time we met each other. And then God just gave us some conversation last night. We were able to just talk and go over things. And I love to be able to have that because we don't get it much. When you're out there on the road sometimes, it can feel like you're out there by yourself. You know, you guys understand that perfectly well. When you're sitting out there and you feel like you're in that foxhole and everything's coming down on top of you and you're like, are we the only ones out here? Right. And then God brings us some friends and goes, nope, we're here with you. Mm-hmm. And so we thank God for it. We thank God for his mercy and his traveling mercies. We'll head home tomorrow, and then we're home for a few days, and then we'll head out. And then we'll head out to, man, where are we going next, honey?
Herkimer.
Oh, Herkimer, New York. And so for the first time, please pray for next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because for the first time next week, I am going to be doing a youth conference type thing that I've never preached before, but I had a man who's been wanting me to come in for the last few times, and so I said, yeah, sure, I'll come and do it. Just last week, we were in Pennsylvania, and we did a VBS, and it's just not something I'm used to doing VBS and such, but nonetheless, the Lord blessed in that. We had 75 kids coming every night, parents, Amish, Mennonite, they, you know, came in and filled it up. And of course, we're starting to transition home. If you get our newsletter, you'll know that we're getting ready to start a transition home, hopefully within the next year. If you don't get our newsletter, we can help you sign up. My wife can come to my wife, Amy. She can help you sign up for that newsletter so you can keep up with what's going on, because God is moving in liberty behind bars. Yeah. He's opening doors. He's doing things. Why? Because he wants to save them. He's not just after the goody two shoes, man. He's after the ones that are locked up in jail and prison. He's after the drug addict and that one you see out there on the street with the earrings all over their self and the purple hair and all. God loves them. Jesus Christ died for them.
Yeah.
And so anyway, see my wife for that. But they raised almost $5,000 in three days for the beginning of our transition home. And so we praise God for that. So it's just stuff like that that God's opening up. I'm not used to stuff like that. I'm not used to being involved, you know, in children's ministries or whatever else, but I'll take it. If God wants me to do it, and I have peace about it, I'm going to do it. And, anyway, you know, the good thing, brother, was the parents were there.
Amen.
And we got to preach the gospel to them. Amish.
Yeah.
Amish people who don't have Jesus Christ. And we got to preach Jesus Christ to them. And the one lady came under some pretty heavy conviction. I think 2 years ago, the last time we were there, another Amish man ended up getting saved. And so God works in that stuff, man. I mean, God just works in that when you get up there and be faithful. So tonight, I just want to encourage a little bit today. I just want to encourage a little bit because I know that as a people, as children of God, we go through some hard things. Now, these are normally not my type of message. And I'm more of an exhorter or somebody who likes to preach. And this is going to be turned into preaching. You can believe it. It just happens that way. But exhortation, I said, I didn't understand why God was giving me these messages. And the more I talk to the preacher and the more I get around people, I understand perfectly why God has me preaching what I am this morning. So turn with me to Psalm chapter 37. And there's some things in here. Psalm chapter 37. Understand this, that when God gives us something, he doesn't give us something with the exceptions if things are going good. He doesn't give us things written in the Word of God with the exception or if things are going your way. He doesn't give us things in that Bible to live with the exception of. There is never an exception. God says, you'll do this, and that's the way I want it done. He gives us these things in an order, and he tells us to do them, and then there are benefits that come after these things if we do them. Here's what I tell people often. We lose sight of God in our troubles, but God never loses sight of us. God knows perfectly well, and he's in control no matter what we face. And there's times in my life, brother, in this ministry, I sit back and I go, man, God, where are you?
Come on, preacher.
He's never left where he's always been.
Right.
The problem is us and how we're looking at things.
Amen.
We got to understand, no matter what situation we're in, God is in perfect control. Now I need to turn to Psalm chapter 37, and we're going to start in verse 1. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 1, and look what it says here. And we'll just spend a few minutes here. I don't know if I'll get through it all, but by the time I get to where I need to get, you'll know. Here's what it says in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers.
Yes.
Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Look at my friends, as a child of God, we are going to go through things in this world. We are going to be blamed for things that we did not do.
Come on.
But it says, fret not yourself. Don't be agitated. Don't be troubled by what they're doing.
Amen.
God's got a purpose for what you're going through.
Amen.
You may not like it. You may disagree with every bit of it, but he says, fret not. Don't get yourself agitated. Don't get yourself disturbed. I'm in control.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut them down.
Yeah. Start the lawnmower, Lord.
I'm just telling you. Here's what I have to ask. Would we want those cut down, or do we want to see them in eternity?
Come on, preacher.
That's a reality.
Yeah, it is.
I know, because I have people all the time in my own church. Man, they do me wrong.
Come on, preacher.
And it hurts.
Help us, preacher.
You know what God shows me? Pray for him.
Come on, preacher.
Who prays for Joe Biden?
Yeah, come on.
I'm just being real. I don't agree with him politically on anything.
God's
nothing.
God's soul, bro.
But I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ died for him just as well as he did for everybody else. But do we bring ourselves to the place to pray for him, Kamala Harris, and the government?
Come on.
Hey, look, we know that most of them probably won't get saved, but what about that one?
Yeah.
If we're not praying, but we're fretting, we're allowing ourselves to be disturbed. God knows who President Joe Biden is. God knew who he was putting in control when he put him in there.
Yeah. Come on.
We seem to forget that God knows what he's doing better than we do.
Amen.
All the voters, you know, they stole the votes. God allowed it. They did.
Amen. Amen.
How can we live any other way?
Right, preacher.
Fret not. Don't be troubled over these things. God will take care of it. He says, just have faith in me. You go ahead. Look at the next part. Look what he says here. He says, fret not. That means to be agitated. Don't let these things harbor bitterness and anger in you. Why? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. You don't have to turn there. 9 through 11 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you.
Yeah.
And such were some of you. Every single one of us fall into that category.
Right.
You go, I didn't live that outwardly. You don't have to live it outwardly to be guilty. You lived it in your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
It took the same blood to save you as it did me.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I was just crazy enough to live on the outside.
Yeah.
Church people live in their heart right in the church pews.
Amen.
You know what? The ground at Calvary is level.
Yeah.
There ain't no levels of sin. God's not going, his sin's worse than that. No, sin is sin to God.
Amen.
He died for it all.
Amen.
Well, how do we look? Thank God somebody came our way and preached the gospel to us.
Yes, sir.
Thank God Jesus Christ came into our life and changed our life. You know why? Because it says, such were some of you, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God that we've been washed. Thank God we've been justified.
Amen.
But we get so high-minded and we let these things trouble us, and when we let these things trouble us, it'll trouble our whole life.
Yes, sir.
Remember this. God knows. Look at what it says in verse 3 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord. You see the next step?
Yes.
He tells you, don't be troubled. Don't fret. But then he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He says, when things are going wrong, when the evildoers are coming upon you, don't let it trouble you. Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
May I say this? Don't trust in the system.
Yeah.
The system's broke.
Yeah, it is.
But your God ain't.
Amen.
Don't let it trouble you, brother. Don't let it trouble you. Don't let it fret you. I know in the heart it gets that way. I get it, man. I live as a human being. I'm not this supernatural human being that walks across water. I get the trouble, and sometimes I fret over it. But you know what God says? Trust me.
Amen.
Christians hate to trust God until after whatever they're going through is over, then they brag about it.
Come on, preacher.
Well, I trusted God through that. But you weren't saying that while you were going through it.
Exactly.
Why? Because you were fretting.
Yeah.
It's what we do. Welcome to Christianity. It's what we do. God says, don't do that.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. The definition of trust is to confide in, to place confidence in, to rely on. If we look at this definition of trust, to confide in, to place our confidence in, to rely on, it has nothing to do with ourselves and everything to do with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
To put your trust into somebody or something means to put everything that you are into that and not rely on anything of yourself but that one that you put your trust in. Do you trust him? Do you put your confidence in him? Do you confide in him? Do you believe that he really can do those things that he says he can do?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because if you trust it, stop relying on yourself then. Because you ain't going to help it.
Amen.
You know what? God doesn't help a lot of us. Because we're too busy being in the way.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
Why? What does that to us, Freddie?
Yeah. There you go.
When you're fretting, it leads to not trusting.
Yes, sir.
Just remember that. When you're fretting against what's going on, when you're fretting against those evildoers, when you're fretting against those things that are coming upon you, that means you're not trusting in the Lord. Hard lesson. Since when did God ever say it was going to be easy for us to live? You know, this Bible goes against everything we are.
Exactly.
That's why God gave it to us. It's an instruction manual on how to run our life.
Amen, preacher.
Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. He gave us an instruction manual. He says, if you'll do these things, if you'll fret not, don't let yourself get agitated, but trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in me. I got this. What's the problem? We're so used to doing it ourselves that we don't put our trust in God. And we wonder why things continue to end up the way they do. God help us.
Yes.
Trust him for what he can do. He is God. Is he so small and powerless that we can't trust him?
Come on.
Is that what kind of God that we have? That he's, that our problem is bigger than God?
Come on, preacher.
That's how we live our life. We live like our problem is so much bigger than what God is able to take care of.
Yeah, we do.
That's not the truth. We believe that way because we fret and our trust is somewhere else outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look, if you're going through something in here, God gave you this message because I don't preach this. Never. I didn't come here with a predetermined message that I was going to preach. God gave this for whoever's going through whatever in this room.
Amen.
Somebody's going through some stuff, and God's got a message for you. Will you receive it?
Amen.
Well, 1 John 4:18 says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. You know, you see the translators there didn't use the word torture. Because torture in between cycles has a break. Torment never stops.
Wow.
That's why it's called eternal torment. That's why hell is called that, because it never stops. You see what it says here? When a Christian is living in fear, they're living outside of the love of God, they're in torment. It never stops. It goes and goes and goes and goes.
Come on.
He says, I don't want you living in fear.
And
I want you living in the love. I want you to live in the trust. And you trust in me. He said, I'll take that torment out of you. I'll take that fear away from you. But you have to trust me. You got to love me.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll be trapped in that torment. And it'll be over and over and over and over. And it'll overtake your whole entire life.
Come on, preacher.
You say, well, things ain't fair. Well, let's just talk about Paul. Let's talk about Jesus Christ, and let's talk about fairness. What about Joseph?
Yeah.
How many can we name in the Bible? It just wasn't fair. But God didn't say, I want you to follow these things if it's fair. I want you to trust me if it's fair.
Come on, preacher.
It doesn't instruct us in that. It's learning that even when things are not fair, to trust God.
Yeah.
That's where we learn the best. Do you know that we learn our best when we go through trials? Why? Because God takes us out of our comfort zone. And it's out of that comfort zone we're more apt to hear God. We're more apt to pray to God. We're more apt to desire to want the things of God. And it's out of our comfort zone that God would bring us out there to teach us these things. Why would he keep us out there then if we're going to be that way? Why can't we be that way inside when things are good? My pastor often tells, I don't know where he got the quote from, but an old man of God told him this one day. He said, when things are going good, pray for when the bad times come. Prepare yourself now. They're coming.
Amen.
We're Christians. We live in the world. We have a sin nature. It's coming. But do we prepare ourselves for that?
No,
we do not. We're called to be soldiers. A soldier's always ready for battle. They're preparing constantly. Why aren't we doing that? We are in a spiritual battle. And by the way, you won't handle it physically. I was a physical guy. I like to fight. That's how I handled everything.
Yeah.
And then when I got saved, all that physical nonsense went out the window because now I'm in a spiritual battle. And God had to teach me a spiritual battle. Yeah. I had to get into that spiritual fight.
Amen.
Can't handle it. Look, I can't handle that spiritual stuff. You go, well, I'm going through physical things. That's a spiritual battle from the devil and from people.
Yes, sir.
That's what happens. The way he says, fret not. He says, to trust in the Lord. Don't live in fear. And look at verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Look what it says here. Delight thyself. Fret not.
Yeah.
Okay? Trust in the Lord. And then it says, to delight thyself also in the Lord. To delight means to take great pleasure in, to be greatly pleased or rejoiced in. Imagine in your troubles. Here we are. Somebody's going through troubles. And God said, look, don't fret. Don't let this thing get to you. Trust me. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to, what did he say? I want you to delight yourself in me.
Yeah.
Amen.
In the troubles, in the midst of everything, I want you to go ahead and forget about all that and just put your delight in me.
Yeah.
That takes a supernatural power. You know what else it takes? Your will.
Yeah.
And your desire to want to do that in those hard times. I've learned over the last years, I'm still a hardhead. I learned over the last years, even if it's through grit teeth, to thank God for what I'm going through.
Amen.
Woke up the other morning and our water was just about off in our house. I go, oh goodness. My wife goes, honey, we ought to thank him for it. I said, Lord, that's my memory.
Amen.
She helped me right there. That's why she's my helpmeet. I said, you're exactly right, honey. Let's just go ahead and thank God for our water breaking. Our car's in the shop again. We put less than 5,000 miles on this car we just bought. It's been in two accidents, and the car's been in the shop more than it's been under us being able to drive it. But you know what we did? We just said, oh, thank God. Why?
Amen.
Because he's given us the means.
Yeah,
we're going to delight ourselves no matter how good or bad it is. He didn't say just delight because things are going well. That's easy to do.
Amen.
But it's in those bad times, those hard times, that we start delighting. You know what happens when we start delighting in the Lord? Those things we're facing start fading. It's not so bad anymore. Why? Because we're not fretting. We're putting our trust in the Lord, and we're delighting. I love to delight my wife. Amen. I love to come and kiss on her neck and love on her and hug her. Man, what an absolute joy. God wants us to do that with him.
Yeah.
He wants us to love on him in those times. Why? Because he cares. He loves us. And he wants us to get through it, but he don't want us to get through it our way. He wants us to get through it his way. The hardest thing we'll do is when hard times come upon us is learn how to delight in the Lord. It says if you delight also thyself also in the Lord, when we don't fret over the world and trust the Lord, it's easy to have pleasure in what he's doing in our lives. You'll notice the second part of verse 4, and it says this, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You wonder why sometimes we don't have the desires of our heart? We won't delight in the Lord.
Yep.
We're too busy fretting. We're too busy being agitated, and we're too busy letting this world take over. People today are having a hard time with God. Why? Because their heart's filled with the world.
Yes, sir.
You know, Psalm 103 says God gives us benefits.
Yeah.
But here's what the problem is. People are looking for the worldly benefits.
Yeah.
They don't even go back and see what the benefits are listed in Psalm 103. Go figure out. Go read Psalm 103, the first five verses, and look at the benefits of what God has done for you in your life.
Yeah.
And then go ahead and compare it to the benefits that you're focused on today. And you're going to see real quickly that your benefits are more focused on the things that are going on in this world than they are what God has done for you.
Amen.
You know what carries me through a lot of my troubles? Realizing where God has brought me from and knowing that he's brought me through many things. Yeah. I can look back and I can look at his track record.
Amen.
I didn't say my track record. His track record is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Makes it a whole lot easier to delight in the Lord when you look at his track record. His track record is good. It's hard. I'm not preaching up here like I'm some super Christian. I struggle with this.
Come on, preacher. Help me.
I struggle with this, but God gave this message to me to share, to help others who are struggling.
Amen.
Why? Because we all go through it. If you're saved, born again in here today, you go through these things. And God sits there and he said, look, here's somebody who's going to encourage you from the word of God. Be encouraged and exhorted. Look, don't just leave here today not listening to what God said to you. There should never be a time that the Bible or verses ever lose its power in your life. It's not because the power of the Bible lost its power. It's the hardness and the stiffness of your neck.
Yeah.
Amen.
God's book never loses its power. It's the person that's the problem.
Yes.
Don't leave here with nothing. You mean you came here not expecting to get anything?
Come on, preacher.
Not from me. If you came to hear me, go back out that door and pray to God and change your heart.
Amen.
Pray to hear from God.
Yeah.
You don't need to hear from me. I ain't got nothing for you. If I ain't preaching this book, I ain't got nothing for you.
Right.
Amen.
This is where it's at, my friend.
Amen.
I can't live my life without this book.
Amen.
I know that. I'm just crazy enough to believe it and live it.
Yeah.
I'm just crazy. I'm just ignorant enough to go ahead and live that, believe it, and live it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just tell you what, man, it's given me such a wonderful life. It's unbelievable what God has done in my life. How? Put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and put my belief in this book and letting God direct me. God gave me these things as an instruction manual to live my life. He knows what's going to make me happy. He knows what's going to get me through things. He knows me better than I do. He is my creator.
Amen.
So he goes here. If you'll do these things, this is what you'll get. There's always, God gives an order to things. Because 2 Corinthians 14:40. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:40. One of them says he's a God of decency and order.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That means when God puts something in his word and there's an order to it, he wants you to do it in that order. Don't try to skip and jump all around. It won't work. But he wrote it in an order. Because he says if you'll do things this way, this is what you get. Proverbs chapter 7 gives us a warning of that strange woman, which is a picture of the world. Those first five verses, he tells you, if you do this, it will protect you from that strange woman. And then from verse 6 down, he tells you what to look out for in that strange woman. And it's everything the world has to offer you. But he already gave you a protection in the first five verses. Will you listen to it?
Come on, preacher.
That's right. Go read Proverbs chapter 2. He says, if you'll keep these things and bind these things and take these things. And then he goes, then this is what you get. Then you get peace. Then you get this. Then you get that. But he says you got to do these things. You have to put these things to work in your life.
Yeah.
Surely when we were not Christians, we went out there and we did everything we wanted to do. It was not a problem. Now all of a sudden, when the Bible is preached and God gives us something, we can't put it to work in our life? It's not impossible if you got the Holy Ghost in you.
Amen.
If you have the Holy Ghost in you.
Come on.
I don't know where you stand. I'm not telling you you're saved or lost, but I know one thing. When I travel around the churches, I know everybody ain't saved.
Come on.
Day and age. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation or nothing like that. I'm just saying. When I travel around, I see it enough. God wants us to work these things in our life. He wants us to delight in him. And then look at what it says in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What is that? So you're not going to fret. You're gonna trust God, the Lord, and he knows what's best for your life. Delight in him. Delight in his way and what he tells you to do. And then he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. There's only one way. That's God's way. You see that word there, singular, W-A-Y? It's not plural, it's singular. Why? Because there's one way, and it's God's way. He says, commit that way unto him. Give it to him, and he... Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Oh, I know those verses. Oh, wonderful. Can you live them?
Come on, preacher.
I don't care how many verses you know. God don't care how many verses you know. He's worried about the ones you can live.
There you go. Good preacher.
He didn't give us verses just to memorize. That's a good thing to do. Don't get me wrong. But you better learn how to live them and implement them in your life.
Amen.
That's what he's more concerned about. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart.
No.
But that's how we live.
You're right.
That's how we live. We live like we only trust the Lord in some time. And some of the things we trust in, because of those things we can defeat. We trust the Lord in the things we can defeat.
Come on.
But when it comes to those things we can't defeat, that line is drawn. No longer do we trust in the Lord. We're still trying to do it ourselves. That's why it says trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. What's the very first place you turn to when trouble comes up? Your own understanding. Every time. Not what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In some of thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge. Lord, you know we need a car. Is this the car?
Come on.
We did that. We did that to our last car. We're like, Lord, you know, bring us a car, whatever we want. And it's a learning process because me and my wife are still learning. We're 12 years old in the Lord. I'm not even 12 years old in the Lord until October. And so I'm still learning how to live this. And so, you know, I said, Lord, you know what? I need to start asking you more for things instead of just going out there and doing it. So I started trying to include it in all those ways. And one of those was, well, Lord, we need a car. Would you lead us to a car? Man, we served so many. We're doing everything. And finally, we believe that 100% the Lord brought us to this car. And it's the very one that we hardly drove. It's been in the shop more than it's been underneath us.
Wow.
You go, was that from the Lord? I believe the Lord led us to that. I believe the Lord led us to buy that. I believe the Lord is 100% in control of what's going on with that car. Why? Do I understand it? No, I do not. But I trust him.
Amen.
I trust him. Maybe he's having that car rebuilt. Amen. That's great. Come in. That'd be almost like a brand new car here soon. I'm not kidding you. Maybe, guys, I don't know what it is, but I know one thing. He's in control of that, and I need that car. But God knows.
Amen.
We commit that way unto the Lord. John 14:6 says this, and John saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who's the way? He is the way. Singular. There is no other way. If it was our way, then why do we ever need Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's what we have to remember when we're out there trying to live our life. If we didn't need God, then why we didn't even need Jesus Christ? And we're going to continue to do things our way. It's not about our way. You know, the Bible says that we lose our purpose. It's about his purpose. It's not our purpose anymore. When he bought me with that precious blood that we talked about last night, he bought me with a price. It cost him everything.
Yeah.
That means it's no longer about my purpose.
Amen.
I lost my purpose. Man, thank God I lost my purpose, brother. Amen. If I didn't lose my purpose, I would have lost my life and my soul.
Yeah.
I like his purpose for my life. I like what he has to do in my life for the last 11 and some odd years. I like what he's doing in it.
Amen.
And let me just say this. Liberty Behind Bars Ministry doesn't make me who I am. Jesus does.
Amen.
If I didn't have that ministry, I'd still be the same man that I am today because of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That ministry doesn't make me who I am. It's just something that God, it's a responsibility God gave me.
Amen.
By the way, I wasn't looking for it, but you know what I did? When he called me to it and I understood that, I committed it to him.
Amen.
That's his ministry.
Amen.
God forbid if I were given to say, well, here's my ministry of living. That's not my ministry. And thank God it's not mine because I can't handle it.
Amen.
You say you couldn't handle it. I can't handle it. Thank God he can.
Amen. Amen.
And I pray this almost on a daily basis. You can ask my wife, Lord, if I'm handling anything wrong in your ministry, if I'm handling any money that's wrong in your ministry, sit me down in the pew, bring a more qualified man by, let him take it over, and I'll go to heaven from a church pew.
Amen.
That's my prayer. I kid Amen. You not. Amen. Why? Because that's his ministry. It needs to be run his way. It needs to be done his way. That's the only way souls are going to be saved, not because of me.
Amen.
Not because of me. I'm just a vessel. Commit that way. Whatever that way is, whatever's going on in your life, whatever, God, look, it says give thanks in all things. How many things? All things. Everything. Everything. Man, that is some of the hardest stuff we have to do, is to give thanks in everything, for this is, not might be, not will be, but this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wherever you're at today, whatever you're facing, this is his will for your life.
Yes, sir.
And God, the devil, and it will use whatever it is going to make God's will come about, he'll use it. He'll allow it to happen in your life. He allowed it to happen in Job's life.
Yep.
The devil came across and said, hey, I'm out here looking for people. I'm just paraphrasing. I got my own version. God said, have you tried Job? How about that? Anybody in here that he can do that with? Can God say, have you tried? But not me, you can't me. I want to be there. I pray, Lord, would you help me to be able to get to that point? If something ever came to that, would you strengthen me now so I could handle something like that? That's my prayer. Because right now I don't know what I would. I really don't. I can't tell you how I'd react or anything. I know how I want to. I know in my heart. I say this is how I react, but would I? Is that just lip service? But we can surely pray, God, if this was to come upon me, would you strengthen me? If you see fit to bring whatever you're going to allow to happen in my family to come, would you give me the strength to face that?
Amen.
Amen.
That's what Job did when he was doing sacrifices with his children.
Yeah.
That's why you'll notice he says this, that thing that I greatly feared has come upon me.
Yeah.
He was doing that already in preparation because he knew at some point something could happen, and it did. And it did. That thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. That's why God said, go ahead. You can try everything. It's body, everything. You just can't have a soul. It's mine.
Amen.
Can he do that to us? I mean, my goodness. Can he do that to us in our trials, in our what we're facing? Can God look down from heaven and say, have to try my servant so-and-so? Well, if we commit our ways unto him, we can. Clearly, we are to commit our ways unto God. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see, commit that way unto God, and he'll establish your thoughts.
Amen.
Man, what a wonderful thing to know that God can establish my thoughts. Because my thoughts have been crazy my whole life. Okay, I needed somebody to come in besides psych medicine. Because psych medicine never established my thoughts. It made me more crazy.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ came in and he was able to establish my thoughts. I've committed my life unto him. Now, I'm not saying there's not psych orders out, disorders out there, but there are. And there are those who need medicine. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't quote me for saying that. That's not what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, for me and for most of the people that I work with, it's not all mental health. It's called an unclean conscience. It's called a sin nature that is defiling them, that's making them that way.
Right.
And then there are those out there who really do have mental health sickness. I believe that. But not everybody in America is mentally ill.
Amen.
That's sin. That's a sin nature. It's an unclean conscience. Why did mine go away? Because I was defiled. Nobody ever told me that I had an unclean conscience. Nobody ever told me that I was sinning against the holy God. But when I realized that, boom, I ended up getting saved in 6 months off all medication. Why? Because it wasn't a mental health disorder that I was suffering from. It was a sin nature that I was suffering from. It was an unclean conscience that I was suffering from. And when Jesus Christ brought forgiveness to me, he took that away from me. That's why drugs and alcohol and all that stuff went away from me. Why? Because all I was trying to do is mask it and cover it up. All that hurt and all that defilement, all those things. But when Jesus Christ came in and he healed me, he took those things from me. I didn't need them anymore. He took them away. He said, I've cast them behind my back. I've forgotten about them. And I live my life that way.
Amen.
I remember the first, when I got saved, the very first thing within a few short minutes of getting saved, is for the first time in my life, I had a clean conscience.
Amen.
I had no clue what that meant. Because since I was a little boy, they had me on chemicals. My whole life, I grew up with some kind of chemicals in my brain. illegal or legal. My whole entire life, from a little boy, probably 6 or 7 years old, when they said, he's hyper. And they put me on those meds, man, when I was hyperactivity disorder is what they used to call ADHD today or whatever. And they put me on meds, and so my entire life, they kept me on meds after meds, and then I got into my own medications, illegal medications, and so on and so forth. I come out and take those today.
Come on, preacher.
You see, what I needed is a man of God called the dad who would have came up across my backside and gave me what I needed.
Right.
That would have straightened the hyperactivity disorder out. Let me go out and play in the yard a little bit. Don't put me on medicine.
Amen.
52 years old, brother. I just turned 52 in July. And for the first time in my life, I'm functioning on a chemical-free brain.
Amen. Praise God.
That's a miracle.
Amen.
Well, why wouldn't I commit my way to God? What happened? Look, your life didn't have to be to my degradation. Your life didn't have to be as low as mine. But you mean to tell me Jesus Christ didn't take you from somewhere? That you don't remember where he's brought you from? You don't remember his goodness from bringing you out of what he's got you out of?
Amen.
We ought to look back at what we were and realize what Jesus Christ really paid for us. You didn't have to live outwardly. We're just as guilty on the inwards as we are on the outwards, mm-hmm. Okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I went over that. They're looking at Psalm 37:7. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. How about that? Yeah. He says, delight in him, commit thy ways, trust in him. And they said, why don't you just take a rest?
Yeah.
You know that word, rest here, means to be quiet, to be tranquil, as a peace of mind, and not to be agitated by fear or anxiety. How about that? Can we rest in the Lord today?
Come on.
Look, he says if you don't fret, if you'll trust in him, commit your ways and delight in him, he says he'll give you rest.
Amen.
Hey, I'm just saying, come back later tonight at 6 o'clock. God gave me a message about some rest. Because most people out there today are looking for a physical rest. And that's what they're settling for.
Come on, preacher.
Oh, no. Well, God promises more than that. Here we see one of those places where he wants to give us a rest. That means tranquil, free of anxiety, free of fear, free of those things. How do we get to that place? When we trust in God and we rest in him, knowing that he has our best interest in mind. Do you know God has our best interest in mind?
Amen.
Here's what we do, though. We equate God to human beings. We think he's going to treat us like human beings do because of those things that were done to us.
Yep.
Most of those men and women that I've worked with in jail and prison, whatever was done to them in their younger years, teenage years, and young adult years, they take that and equate God to that. And I have to tell them, God's not that way.
Amen.
You got that messed up. They're like, what? I said, look, God's not treating you that way. Let me teach you about God from this Bible. Let me show you who God is. You know how I didn't have a father in my life. You know who taught me what it is to believe in God as my father? Well,
come on, preacher.
Amen.
6 times in the New Testament, God breaks down God and God the Father. In the same sentence, he uses God and God the Father. Why? Because Paul is trying to teach us a lesson here. Paul says, look, you know God is God. He's the lawgiver. He's holy. He's the righteous one. That's God. He's the creator of all things. But he's also a father.
Yeah.
That means he's got to make decisions for your life that you think is being harmful, that you think is going to hurt you. But he's telling you, no, take my hand and trust me.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for your best interest. That's a father.
Yeah.
When a child looks back at the father and goes, why are you doing this to me? Why are you trying to hurt me? And he goes, I'm not. I love you. I know what's in your best interest. Take my hand and just follow me. God taught me what that is.
Amen.
Because when I got saved, you know what I understood God as? Somebody who just wanted to punish me all the time.
Oh, boy.
I didn't understand God. And then God took, he took those 6 verses and he showed me what it is to be a father. And he showed me, Dale, I don't always handle you as God. I handle you as God the Father as well. I'm just trying to lead you and guide you as a father. I'm trying to love you because it's your best interest. And you know what that does for me? It gives me rest. When I realize he's not handling me as the punisher, but he's handling me as God the Father, that gives me rest.
Amen.
Because I realize he's doing this for my best interest.
Yep.
When we can see our problems and look at them in a different light, then always, why is God always bringing chastisement on me? Stop always looking at it that way. And if you deserve it, then that's what you're getting. But look at him as God the Father and say, is he just leading me through something because he loves me and he wants me to trust him? You have to look at it in a different way and it'll help you handle that situation differently. I promise you, you'll look at that situation differently than you ever did. Because you'll realize, no, he's allowing this to happen in my life, or he's bringing me through it. And stop praying God gets you out of stuff. Pray that he gets you through it, because you'll learn more going through it than you ever will getting out of it. God allows us to go through things, not always to take us out of it, but to get us through it.
Amen.
You'll come out different on the other side. That's hard praying. Yeah. But he said, nonetheless, he says, pray that way.
Yeah.
He allowed you to be led into that, and now he wants to lead you through it. And when you come out the other side, you look back and go, man, thank God for letting me go through that. You know what that brings?
Rest.
Amen.
It brings rest. Amen. Well, that's what he wants. He says you'll have rest in the Lord, and it's to be quiet, to be tranquil. 1 Peter 5:7, casting some of your care upon him.
Oh.
My goodness, all your cares. Every little, we look at things, well, God really wouldn't care about that. Yes, he would. He says to cast it all upon him. You know what casting means? To throw it away from you. This is what's bothering me. This is what's going on in my life. I'm casting it away. Here, you take it. I can't do it.
Get free of it.
Yes. Amen.
You notice the ETH on the end of that word care? That means it's something that continues to happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't just care for us one time. He doesn't just care for us through the one situation. He always cares. It never stops. That's why it says cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Man, is that wonderful?
Yeah.
To know that a holy God cares for us so much that he wants us to continually cast those things upon him. Well, do we do it? Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for who?
Yeah.
You know what our problem is? We're trying to run ahead of God too much. Yeah. We're trying to run so far ahead of God, and we're trying to run. He says, no, I need you to stop and wait. A person is not going to wait if they don't trust the other one who's trying to help them. They're always going to keep trying to do it themselves. Why? Because they don't trust the one that they said they trusted. Mm. If they did, they'd stop and wait for God patiently and sit back and rest in him. Give those things to me, Lord. Help me here. He says he'll do it. Do we trust him? Are we resting in him? Because if we're not resting in him, that means we don't trust him. That means we're continually trying to run ahead of him. There are things in my life in this ministry, I thank God, that God only allowed it to go through a short time, but there were things in the ministry that I started running ahead of God for, and he stopped it. And when I realized that God was stopping it, I said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for running ahead of you. I didn't mean to. And I thank God, sister, that he stopped it, because then I realized there were some things in my life that needed to be taken care of, and I just praised God for it. Don't run. Wait patiently for him. My goodness, does he not know? Yes or no? Is he bigger than what we're going through? Does he have more power than what we face? If we see God as just a small God in a box that we'll call him when we think things are going good, or when we think that we've handled it, we love to call God when we handle the situation. Yeah. Well, you know, thank you, Lord, for handling that. God goes, I didn't even put my hand on it. You didn't give me a chance. You're too busy getting in the way. We get in the way so much of God. And wonder why we are in the turmoil that we're in. He says, if you're resting, that's not there. Well, wait patiently for him. That means to stay, to rest in expectation, to stop, to remain stationary. That doesn't mean to stop living your life. It means to continue doing those things you know that are good. Continue to do your Bible reading, prayer, coming to church, going out there witnessing to people. But to stop whatever situation you're facing, just stop. Stop trying to figure it out. Let God figure it out. Or don't we trust him anymore? I believe Christians have lost the ability to believe and trust God today.
Amen.
Well, how do you say that? Well, listen to them, watch their actions, watch what they do. I know there's situations that are terrible, man. But you show me one time in the Bible where God says, only do these things when situations aren't terrible.
Come on.
Never. You'll never find that in there. But yet, that's what we look for. You know, God says he's got, you know, the laws, the commandments. He's got statutes. You know why God put statutes in there? Because we're always, for humans, we're always looking for loopholes. So God said, thou shalt not murder. Well, you didn't say I couldn't kill. And then he's got a statute that says don't kill. Why? Because we as human beings are looking for loopholes.
Come on, preach.
We're looking for a way to get through something. So God is taking care of all that.
Amen.
That's what we got. Well, how do you know that? Because I'm a convict. I always look for loopholes. I always look for a way out of it. Always look through all the, you know, statutes. Was this done? Was that? You know, the numbers. I hear you quoting numbers. It reminds me back in the days in the law library quoting numbers and stuff. Why? Because I'm looking for something. I'm looking for a loophole. We do that as humans. We do that with God. We're looking for a loophole to get out of something maybe he brought us in. Or maybe he wants us to rest in him in that. But yet we're looking for a loophole to try to get out of that. We don't know. If you do not know, if you do not totally understand it, you need to just stop and rest in God. Let him take care of it. And I'm done here in 2 minutes. Cease from anger. That's what it says in Psalm 37:8. Cease simply means to abstain. Be angry and sin not. There are things that we should be angry at, but he says, don't be angry. If you're going to be angry, excuse me, not to be angry, be angry, don't sin. Don't call sin, okay? Don't go out there cussing and swearing and doing all that nonsense. If you're going to be angry, but sin not. You know, Jesus got angry. He went and flipped some tables over, but he wasn't cussing them out. He had a righteous anger. He had a good anger. There's a good anger. We should be angry at some things, okay? I don't know if you're recording now, but LGBTQSZZML, all that nonsense, trying to steal the children and all that baloney that's going on. Those are things to be angry at. Why? Because they're against us. If you're taking it personal, shame on you. It's against your God.
Amen.
That's who they're doing it against, not us. They're doing it against our God. They're throwing it in our face. They're making fun of us. They're mocking Jesus Christ like they did with the purple robe. They're doing that with that little rainbow thing. They're mocking God. We ought to be angry over that.
Amen.
And our anger shouldn't, look at though. Don't let it fret you. Pray for them.
Amen.
Right. Pray that God would intervene. Pray that God would do something. We don't know. God, whatever you can do, whatever you're going to do, intervene in this. But look what he says here. Forsake wrath in verse 8. Forsake is to quit, to leave entirely, to desert. There's a difference between anger and wrath. Anger is getting angry at something, but wrath means there's a physical, something that happens physically in that wrath. He says abstain from it. Get away from that wrath. It's not going to help you. I just sent something to my wife this morning, and it said this. It says, I'd rather handle this situation God's way, because if I handle it my way, I'm going to jail.
Amen.
That's me in my wrath. In my wrath, I can go handle situations that has come up in my family. And man, I would love to. But God tells me to forsake that. Get away from that. Leave that wrath alone. It's not going to do any good. Who is it going to benefit? What's it going to do? Give some temporary relief for what? Then I'm going to sit in jail. Now you're going to have to come see me. Give me some commissary money, hopefully.
Oh, boy.
That's what wrath is going to produce. Nothing. It's not going to help a bit. And God has taught me that over the past few years with my son being in college. Trust me. There's been times that I've been wrathful. And I told you last night, my son came home after going through a situation. He said, Dad, what do we do with this? So we got two ways to handle it. We can handle it my way. We'll just go there and get a couple pipe wrenches and we'll take their teeth and put them down their throat. That's what I would have did. Wouldn't even second guessed it. I said, we can handle it God's way. And we sat down and had a conversation, me and my son. You know what he said? He said, Dad, I'd rather handle it God's way.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God for that. By the time the end of the semester came around, those same guys that were messing with Luke actually asked him for help, became his acquaintance. Why? Because he handled it God's way.
Amen.
Now, you know what God just did? He said, look, Dale, I've made your son a better man in this area than you.
Come on.
That's what I want. I want my son to be a better man in situations than I ever was. Because fighting, going to jail and prison doesn't make you a man.
Come on, preacher.
Being able to withstand those things from the world, the persecutions, the being blamed for things that you did not do, which my son had to do over and over again, and handle them the way God handled them. That's a man. Not because you can knock somebody out.
Amen.
And I want my son to be a man in this world of lost people. Now he's inviting him to church.
Yeah,
well, it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. He got a job, and at the job, he's already, some people are physically trying to mess with him. And now you're not going to physically put your hands on my son. And he's just going to stand there and let you do it. Sorry that I don't have it.
Amen.
Cease from forsake wrath, and here I'm closing. Verse 8 says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Notice in verse 1, it begins with, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In verse 8, it says, ends with this, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't trouble yourself. Don't let yourself, because of what's going on in this world, trouble you so much that you end up doing evil. Notice how God did that? In verse 1, he says, fret not thyself against evildoers. And then he comes on and he gives you a list of things that he wants you to do. And then verse 8, he closes, don't let that fretting get to you so bad that you go out there and start doing evil stuff. Don't let that happen. He's given us a warning. Pastor, I'm done.
Amen. Go ahead and take a few minutes here. Fill up your coffee. Amen.